Support for the homemade broadcast on Sunshine 96.7 FM WMTB comes from Truvy Salon and Spa in St. Petersburg. Located at 8908 4th Street North, Unit B, Truvy Salon and Spa offers hair care products and salon services by appointment only. Find out more about Truvy Salon and Spa at their website, TruvySalonAndSpa.com.
This is a homemade broadcast radio production.
Welcome, welcome.
Well, I'm not sure that, you know, this was an interesting trust, case test of people's trust in their politicians or their health system. And, you know, statistically, we didn't do as well as I would have expected. You know, in fact, you know, I'm cited as some, you know, mastermind of some evil plot in many, many cases.
Central Avenue. We're all about the Sunshine City. RadioCP.com.
RadioCP.com presents the Homemade Broadcast.
Hi. First time listener, first time caller. This message is for Will. Screw you, ass. Eat cum and fry ice.
Okay, and are you ready for the show?
Yay, we're ready, Lucy. Please start.
And so I started.
This is Mayor Rick Kreisman, and you're listening to the Homemade Broadcast.
Personnel, this is CBTS. Space vehicle pre-count operations will start on my mark at 5, 4, 3, 2, one.
There's nothing more you can leave behind, so forget about seeing, get into your mind. It looks better when the world's flat. Crowd or park, make your first attack. Lights out.
It is the Homemade Broadcast, HMB Radio, RadioSt.Pete.com, Sunshine at 96.7 FM in downtown St. Petersburg. My name's Will. Welcome back to the program. Phone number is 813-693-2124. HMBRadio.com is the website. Anna Amrakhan is here. I don't know about you, but I'm looking forward to it. It seems like it's going to be a lot of fun.
Why not?
The
summer we had Delta. When do we have Omicron?
I had the most stupendous time being away from any sort of news for about 5 days.
Did you allow yourself to kind of go off the grid?
I did. Yeah. I mean, good. I used my phone for Google Maps to figure out where the hell I was going. I was in Key West for my birthday / Thanksgiving. And I also used it to take pictures, but I kind of stayed off social media platforms.
On purpose.
On purpose, but also just didn't have the time to, I was doing stuff, walking around, doing stuff. So I really just didn't have the time to scroll Twitter for a change, which was really nice. And the first thing I do when I'm sitting in the airport waiting for my plane to come home is open Twitter, and I find out that there's a new death variant of the COVID-19 disease, the SARS-CoV-2 virus. And I went, okay, here we go. And then I go down the rabbit hole of just reading about this new variant. And I'm reading about it. The South African doctor who discovered it says, I'm paraphrasing her here. I don't have her exact quote in front of me that was in the article, but they had mild symptoms, mild COVID-19 symptoms, no loss of taste and smell, no fever, mild symptoms. So a cold? Is that what we're talking about here? And the whole economy is up in an uproar now. The leaders from around the world are freaking out, spazzing out. shutting things down again, travel restrictions
are heavy.
The whole shebang. I played a clip at the beginning of this podcast of Bill Gates, which I really like, and his known epidemiologist and vaccine maker, Bill Gates, talking about how it was really a failure on their end to gain trust from the public about this pandemic and things that they should do. It's kind of like a dry run, you know, that they need to get better, which I think that's fair. And then he says they claim that I'm some sort of secret cabal, in some sort of secret cabal or something.
This talk, or where was he giving this interview?
I don't know. I have no idea. I just found it on Twitter and I liked it. So I sent it at the beginning of the podcast.
Okay.
Change the clip every week. So I don't know. It was the guy that I went to Key West with, he was with his wife. He texted us on Monday and said, I have COVID. So
had he had COVID before?
I don't know. I know he was vaccinated. That's important. Vaccinated.
Breakthrough case,
maybe. Yeah, I don't know if he had it before or not. I didn't even bother testing. I'm sure some people are ripping their hair out at that statement, but I'm just kind of over it.
Yeah, clearly. I think you've done your due diligence. You said you were feeling bad, but you've said you've been feeling bad for weeks.
Weeks. Literally weeks. So for all I know, maybe it was me.
Maybe you gave it to him, and he's telling you I got it.
Maybe.
And now he makes you think that he maybe gave it to you.
Maybe. But that's fine.
Yeah.
I'm okay with that. that sounds terrible. I really don't care if I give it or get it at this point, especially with this new variant. Say it's essentially a cold. Again, I know people are pulling their hair out at that statement.
I was telling you about an hour ago that, you know, I was watching the news as I do, and they were talking about Omicron. They had this doctor on, and he's Indian, so like it's like Arash Patel. So you know that he knows his ass.
Mm-hmm.
And they asked this guy, you know, are the vaccines going to work against this new variant? And he says, I don't know. Then 2 minutes later, the interviewer asks him, so what's the number one thing people can do to protect themselves? And he says, get the vaccine. And I went, sponsored by Pfizer.
Makes sense. Yeah, it makes sense. I guess it's one of those things like better safe than sorry. And I'm picking up my phone. I know this drives you nuts, but I'm doing it for a reason because I have a couple stories here that I don't know if you're aware of.
Can we talk about your private life first?
Sure.
Okay. Your presence was very much missed on Thanksgiving. Not that I feel like I own you, because I know that I don't, and I can't be possessive over you, but I do have to share, you will, especially at this point, this juncture in your life, where you have entered a romantic relationship.
Yes. Yes.
And which is good, and I love the girl, and I'm very happy for the two of you, but I can't lie and say that I wasn't really, really sad that you weren't present. We go to Johnny's house every Thanksgiving and sometimes Christmas when I'm around. But Thanksgiving is just kind of a tradition that we do all together.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, we just kind of have like a cool group vibe and lots of laughs and drinks and food and all that jazz. And it definitely felt, you know, we felt your absence. And I felt like I shouldn't feel possessive over you because I don't own you, but also I was like, he broke tradition.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, but I'm glad you had fun. You looked like you were having a ball in Key West.
It was nice. Yeah. It was just nice to get away I have like this internal reset since I came back. I haven't really been on a vacation. I can't remember the last time I was on a vacation. And if I was, it was not like a full vacation. It was kind of, stuff was still in the back of my head. I totally let myself like not worry about work, not worry about anything.
Nice.
It was so nice. And I feel like the days have slowed down now. There was, before I left, the days would, I couldn't get everything done that I wanted done. It just felt like the days were going by way too fast.
Just evaporating.
Yeah. But this past week, I mean, they're almost too long. The days are almost too long right now.
Great reset.
It's my own personal great reset.
Well, yeah. You were probably thrown off like we all were with daylight savings because, and I feel like people have this conversation daily, but it's like the it feels like 9 p.m. and it'll be like 6.
Yeah.
Sort of a thing. Or you're like, it's only 7? I thought it was 11 p.m. You know, that whole thing.
Yes.
So I feel like maybe you going on this trip, and you know what it was probably that allowed you to reset, is that you were really present for it.
Yeah.
You were present in the moment. You said you weren't scrolling through Twitter or the news or anything like that. You were just kind of like living as a human should. Which is focusing on yourself, focusing on the people around you, focusing on the experience that you're having versus being influenced by the things that you're reading on your phone and letting that dictate your mood or what you're thinking about.
Yeah, it is, you know, being in the broadcasting industry that, you know, I'm technically a co-host and a producer, so it's up to me to find the content to talk about and also talk about it. I have to constantly search for content. Twitter's a great space
resource for that.
That I found that works really good because you can follow certain accounts and then just scroll down, find news stories, whatever. But there's also some of the most toxic things imaginable on there. And it does stress me out. I could feel my blood pressure rising as I'm over the week, as I'm looking for stuff. I guess it can cause burnout. I haven't gotten tired, but I guess it did mess me up a little bit in certain ways. And I don't know if that's just not having the time to just be present somewhere.
Yeah.
Or if that was, you know, work doing that or what I was consuming in media. I don't know. But it was just nice to get away for a little while. And I did miss, you know, I missed you guys. My dad did the same thing to me where he's like, it sucks. You're not going to be here for Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, yes, I. But it was a good reset. I'm really glad I did it. And I'm glad to be back, too. You know, I know that we're going into the Christmas time, so we're going to probably be taking a few breaks here and there.
Oh, yeah. I forgot to tell you, I am going home to California. I booked my flight.
Oh, okay.
To see my mother, especially, and my dad.
Okay.
The December 18th through the 28th.
Okay.
So it's going to be a long one.
All right. Well, that's fine. I'll either do it by myself or get a guest or something. Right, that'll be no problem. Or maybe I'll just take off, too. I don't know. We'll see. See people, how people react to that. You can get in touch with the show, by the way, if you'd like to. 813-693-2124. Did I say that right? 813-693-2124. HMBradio.com. Twitter and Instagram, home_made_man, and Anna Hummel Radio. Now, I forgot to tell you, Anna, and maybe I shouldn't talk about this on the recording, but I did get a StreamYard account.
Okay.
And now I'm able to stream to a couple different places. So I thought it might be fun maybe to interact some video and some live streaming into this whole thing.
That is 100% going to help the whole product as a whole.
Mm-hmm.
I hate being on camera, but I understand that it is useful and it definitely attracts more people. I was actually listening to the great philosopher, Timothy J. Dillon.
Yes.
And I just listened to probably about 20 minutes of his latest podcast, but he said that his audio only podcasts do much worse than his ones that have a visual.
That's the next step. Yeah.
And he's like, the visual isn't even what you should be even be, you know, here for. It's because it's your list. It's an audio experience. And he's saying that it sucks because he's literally in a car. And he said it was one of the best episodes he ever did, which was, it was about Thanksgiving and some stuff. And it was a really great episode, but it's audio only, and he said it did much worse. So you're right. I definitely think the visual component will help, although I'm very self-conscious about just how I look in general and also, like, on a camera. It's just – and you'd think I'd be used to it by now because I've been on camera for about a year and a half now because we do Bubba's show on Twitch. Terrestrial radio as well, but Twitch is our main moneymaker, and I get heinous, horrible comments about...
Oh, I'm sure.
You know, I didn't know that I was balding, Will. I have bald spots. There's people that have account names.
No, you don't have
honest thinning hair. I'm like, it's my hairline, and I'm arguing with people. It's giving me new complexes. I didn't even know insecurities that I had. The fresh ones are just, like, popping up.
Wow.
People commenting on my FUPA. I'm like, what?
Yeah, I mean, you got to consider the source, though.
I totally understand, but you understand that it's much more comfortable to just not be seen.
I get it. That's why I've chose the audio format. As my father would say, you have a face for radio, which he laughs every time he tells me that
to you.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
okay.
He likes that a lot. just a classic dad joke there. But I did want to, you know, speaking of the Omicron variant. There was a story from the Telegraph that came out. Oh, no.
You lost it?
No, you have to have an account to view it. I viewed it earlier. Maybe that's why they won't let me view it now.
Can you, do you remember what it was about?
Well, kind yes. Sum it up. I can sum it up for you. Essentially, the United Kingdom used media to stoke fear in people over the COVID-19 stuff to get them to do certain things that they wanted them to do, like go get the vaccine, et cetera, et cetera. And I tweeted out this link and I said, well, thank God they would never do this in America. Mm-hmm. I'm being facetious. Obviously. Of course. It is. I'm so sick of talking about COVID, but I feel like this was a big revelation that kind of came out in the Telegraph, because that was something I think everybody knew. There's a lot of conspiracy theories that you just got to wait a little while. And then maybe the conspiracy was hyperbolic a little bit, but pretty much true.
The lab leak, that wasn't hyperbolic at all.
Lab, right. That ended up being, I don't know any, the only people I hear talking about the wet market now is Anthony Fauci.
Who's saying it's a possibility, but everything's a possibility.
And, I mean, I'm pretty sure everybody just knows it leaked from that lab now. And it's accepted, but that was, you were a kooky bastard if you were talking about that last year.
Remember the wrath that Mike Pompeo got for being, for peddling a conspiracy theory.
Tom Cotton.
How would you even open the door to that as an option? Obviously, it came from nature, yada, yada. That's what the authorities said.
Yeah.
That's what they, that's how, what the WHO said, who are in on the whole thing.
I can't keep up with how many things that they told us that if you went, I don't know, it might have leaked from this lab in Wuhan. And they went, how dare you? How many of those things actually ended up being
true?
The true thing that the kooks were saying? I mean, a lot. Yeah. A lot of things have been pulled back. Another one I could think of off the top of my head was on the vaccine card that you have, there's two shots for the Pfizer, one for the Johnson & Johnson. There's like six places, open places for vaccines on the card. Why? Why do you need that much? Seems like you need maybe two at most.
For the boosters.
And that was something that Kook said. And now that's 100% happening now, that you were going to need more shots. Joe Biden today with his winter plan said that boosters are going to be made available for all adults. And of course, they're going to try to mandate them. They're going to have problems with that just with the Supreme Court and stuff. Good. But so, okay, so again, that was another thing that only kooks were saying, and people went, no. And now, sure enough,
it's happening.
It's happening again.
I had this thought today, and I'd like to hear what you think about it, or what your prediction would be, rather. There's going to be a day where COVID will no longer be in the news. Like, you know, of course, here's the thing, like, you know, there'll be a shooting and that'll be big, but they'll still talk about the vaccine, and then Omicron is happening and they're talking about that, and it'll kind of die down, and then they'll talk about the fourth booster. But there's going to be a day that effectively, I don't want to say it's over, because I have a feeling that COVID is now going to become like the flu, but we don't comment on the flu every day. You know, it's just going to be part of our life. What day do you think that is going to be, where it's just, it's no longer going to be newsworthy? Everything is going to kind of settle down, at least in that arena, at least in that department. When do you think that's going to be, where it will not even be a story that's mentioned on the news?
January 2025.
I was just about to say the same.
When President Ron DeSantis takes the office, that's probably when it will stop. That will be the day. I that's the only way I could think of it. I saw MSNBC clip today saying that they were saying that Republicans can't let COVID go because it's bad for, you know, their bottom line. I'm just like, what? That seems like quite the opposite. At this point, Anna, and I hope I don't get in trouble with Radio St. Pete for saying this, but I think this is not, the virus is real. Okay, let me preface with that. But all of this is fake. All of this, these measures, all this crap is not, it's
they're real, but they don't make no sense.
They don't make any sense whatsoever.
They're not based in reality.
Much like Rahm Emanuel said, it was famously quoted as saying that you never let a good crisis go to waste. And it's Rahm Emanuel. He was Ron Emanuel, the former mayor of Chicago, one of Barack Obama's right hand men. I think he had a a job in the Obama administration at one point. And that was his famous quote. And I think that's what this is. I think this is a dry run for... I freaked out in Key West one night and got all upset. But I'm like, there are rich, powerful people trying to take everything. And I really believe that that's the case. The World Economic Forum. This is kooky conspiracy theory stuff. I get it. But again, watch. Because it's going to end up just being real. And they don't really see
and that's a good way to make friends in Key West. Yeah. Is get drunk and start spewing conspiracy stuff.
Right. Yeah, it worked. It worked. I'm banned from Captain Tony's. I hope, and I don't necessarily have much faith, but I hope that whoever the next president is just goes, yeah, I'm done with this. We're not doing it anymore, and we're going to move on now.
You know, I feel like this is a good opportunity to talk about my new thing. Now, I feel kind of bad because when I get a new thing, and it could be anything from intermittent fasting to Brazilian jiu-jitsu to Rubik's cubing, whatever it is, when it becomes my thing, I really go all in. I really go balls deep. And then I force the people around me to also become interested in what I'm interested in so that I could talk about it with them. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm like, you need to learn stuff about MMA because I like MMA, or you need to learn about intermittent fasting, what insulin does to the body, because that's what I want to talk about right now. So I have recently, I'm doing a lot of self-development. Oh, I've been doing a lot of self-development over the years in terms of like how to think about things, how to be emotionally mature, how to communicate properly, how to, you know, have a good perspective on life so that I can enjoy it to the best of my ability. I feel like the next frontier is something that I've been really avoiding for many years, which is meditation, because that frightens me. My own mind frightens me. I'm sure you feel the same way.
Sure.
Left alone with your thoughts, being in a sensory deprivation take terrifies me. Things I would feel like would be good for me, but terrifies me. I feel like the next frontier is meditation because I realize how out of control I am, and we all are, when it comes to the things around us. We can't control how other people react. We can't control mandates. We can't control our families being angry at us because of a decision we made to get vaccinated or not. Whatever the case may be, but we can control how we experience things, right? That's the only kind of control that we have. Whether and all the negative emotions like anxiety, anger, fear, whatever, all that sort of stuff can be mitigated if you take the time to do some mental training. So I got the Sam Harris Waking Up app on my phone, and I've been listening to... I'm, like, prepping myself to start meditating. I haven't exactly started yet, but I didn't even know really the goal of meditation. Like, is it to be Buddha? Like, I don't really know. I couldn't really explain to you. It's like... If you were trying to explain to someone why meditation is important, I guess it would be just like mental well-being, but it's like, how do you even get there? Like, what are the steps? So I'm really trying to prep myself. So I feel like the next frontier is meditation. Have you ever considered doing any? Because I feel like I was the type of person to kind of be like, shut up. Like, when people talk, I'm like, shut up. Right. But when people that you really respect are doing it and they're science-minded people and they're saying this is something that it doesn't mean you're a dualist, doesn't mean that you believe in the spirit or anything like that, but you're recalibrating the chemistry in your brain so that you can have a more favorable experience living on this planet. Yeah, I'm down for that, you know? Sure. And I feel like I'm going to try to mold myself into the person that takes time every day, maybe even 5 minutes, to meditate. Which terrifies me because every time I'm sitting there and I'm not doing something, I feel like I should be doing something. I'm late for something. I'm like, how am I going to meditate if I'm just feeling anxiety? But the whole reason why you're doing it is to mitigate that anxiety in the long run.
Right. Reset. Maybe you need a trip to Key West.
Oh, maybe that'll do it.
Maybe that'll do it so you can appreciate the days more. Yeah, I tried to do that when I was younger, and I just feel like I didn't know how, or I don't know. I just didn't benefit much from it. Uh-huh. But I kind of understand your point of view of enough. Just hush. I don't want to do that. That's stupid.
Yeah.
But I also know that it works for a lot of people too. So
it takes years of practice. I understand. Yeah. It's not like you're going to do it for a week and you're going to master it or anything like that. But I mean, if especially because my OCD has been kind of bad lately, I'm like, what if this is a way to kind of not train myself out of it, but at least kind of mitigate like the compulsive and obsessive thoughts and or behaviors that I do.
I mean, if it's worth a shot, right? Yeah, especially yeah. if it's not pharmaceutical, mm-hmm. you know, and it's something that works, why not? Give it a try. And how long have you been doing this?
About a week now.
Right? Oh, so it's brand new.
Yeah, it's brand spanking new. It still terrifies me because I'm like, I don't think I'm going to be successful. It didn't work in the past. It's like, yeah, but you didn't really try. Mm. You didn't really give it the old college try where you really went all in for it. So I feel like this really, you know, kind of looking at, as I see all this, the Spotify year in reflections deal, it's really making me take a look at my own life, the year in review sort of a thing. But this year, I really did a lot of new stuff, which I love. I love that. I love that. That's probably one of my favorite things about myself, which I don't have many, but I'm always willing to try something new. And even if I don't actually really enjoy it or it's something that I wouldn't do again, the novelty of the situation is part of the fun. Like, even if I'm, like, I went to Bubba's, like, racetrack. I went to a place where people do go left.
Circles.
Circle, donuts. Yeah,
in a car.
On a dirt track.
Yeah.
You know, the demo is the not usually people I'd probably be spending time with.
Mm-hmm.
You know, white, mm-hmm. not college educated, mm-hmm. you know, I mean, I voted for Trump, but I don't have a Trump flag,
right?
You know, I don't say things like stop the steal, but, you know, I went twice, I wouldn't go a third time because it's not my scene, but going was cool to experience. And it was funny to me because I went there and I'd never been to something like that before. And most people, when talking about like white people or white society, they will say that these people are absent of culture. Mm-hmm. But when I went, it was a full-on heavy-duty cultural yeah. experience. It
right.
wasn't even just about the racing. Like, you could tell, like, just there were a lot of customs that people had, a lot of rituals that people had. It was a family affair. Kids were there. There was just certain foods that people ate. There were certain, like, brands of clothing that everyone was in camouflage, yet I could see them. So there were just lots of things that I wasn't used to, and it was a very rich cultural experience. And it's funny when you're talking about, like, white, and they actually had money because they were able to race and do stuff like that. But, you know, let's say, like, rednecks. You would say, oh, rednecks don't have culture. Yes, they very much
yeah,
do.
Yeah, they do. When they say that, they don't really mean none. They mean, ugh.
Not the culture that they
yes,
want.
Right.
And I realized recently, I actually went on a four-wheeling over the weekend. And what I realized about rednecks and redneck culture is that they're getting half of it right. I would say that, like, when you look at the liberals and you look at the way they live their lives, like the city slickers, you know, people like that, and then you look at the rednecks who are typically more conservative, red, all that sort of thing, they're halfway on both. I noticed that with the rednecks, the diet's terrible. They're smoking ciggies, mm. drinking alcohol, but they're outside. And I went four-wheeling, and it was so refreshing to see a bunch of kids in the mud, four-wheeling, getting in the water. There was like a dirty river. They all have cholera. Who cares? They're having fun. They're all going on swings and stuff like that. Awesome. But then you look at the libs, right? And they got half of it right, too. You know, they're eating their vegetables. They're not smoking. They're not excessively drinking in front of the kids or letting the kids drink or do dangerous stuff, but they're also keeping them inside and they're always on their iPad,
mm-hmm.
you
mm-hmm.
know? And I'm like, if these two could talk to each other,
yeah.
we can get kids outside eating vegetables and not Funyuns, we'd really be going somewhere good.
Yeah.
That's what I realize.
That's a good point, and yeah. it will never happen.
No.
It's too, I mean, everything's political now. And, you know, they look at those people as, you know, which is ironic because I think they'll look at them as the working class. They are the working class. They work in, you know, they're plumbers and electricians and they're, you know, these Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez will talk about the working class up and down. But if, you know, if they were like, hey, thanks, lady, I appreciate you looking out for us, she'd be like, ugh, get yeah. away from me, you yeah. pig. So it's just there's a lot of irony, a lot of hypocrisy mm-hmm. In our culture. And it's, yeah, it would be nice if we could all get along. And I think we did. Like, there was I guess after 9/11 is when it started to get really bad. You know, people calling people Nazis and stuff like that. Because they called Bush, George W. Bush, a Nazi. I think that's how it started. And then they also called Obama a Nazi.
But I feel like right after 9/11, the country was pretty unified in terms of, like...
Oh, right after,
against the
yeah.
terrorists.
Never more united. Oh, that quickly. Faded quickly. Yeah, yeah. And it got into this, like... just hellscape of endless wars and, you know, whatever. But yeah, I don't, but I feel like now we're kind of drifting off into, and maybe it's a good thing, kind of drifting off into the metaverse, the web 3.0 that's coming. I've been trying to learn about that lately. And it's kind of cool. It's like the internet based on blockchain. So you'll be able to be an individual in the internet. So you can't be banned. You can't be, it's actually like really the forefathers, I think, would approve of web 3.0. Because web 2.0 is platforms like Instagram. They own all your stuff. You put your picture up, it's theirs. They can use it however they want. But with web 3.0, you can create an NFT. And
you are the NFT? Because you're a non-fungible token?
Your stuff is. So if you publish something online, now it's an NFT and it's yours. And it's your... So like... I think when people talk about wealth many years ago, it's kind of, you know, you buy cars, you buy, you know, fine china, fine art, that type of stuff. But now you're able to do that in this digital space.
It's a digital footprint. I understand that much.
Well, not only a footprint, but it's...
It has a unique digital footprint. Yeah, that's what I meant.
And it's yours.
It's non-fund. It's there's only one.
And you'll be able to own, you know, you could still have like followers from social media, but it's going to be on your blockchain. So they're yours. And you can kind of...
Can you explain something to me?
I can try. I don't...
Because, you know, I feel like I'm a boomer. Trying to ask the younger Gen Z what's going on.
Are you talking about specifically about Facebook's metaverse? Because I don't know anything about that.
Or, I mean, is the metaverse going to... Is it a branch of Facebook? Or is it... The new frontier Facebook, or is this something they're trying to launch where everybody's in the metaverse?
I think it's Facebook's version of, and I'm kind of just pulling this out. I don't know, but I'm assuming that it's Web 3.0 for Facebook, which has changed their name to Meta, trying to prepare for this new frontier of the internet.
Okay, so is the goal of the metaverse, and maybe you don't know, like you don't have a job in the real life, you have a job in Web 3.0. Mm. Like you go to work in the web, you know, you kind of plug into the digital sphere and then you're going to work, but it's all digital and you have one of those.
I hope not. That's terrifying. Yeah. I hope that's not the case. I think it's more just owning your things online, getting rid of the monopolies of the platforms that control web 2.0. They'll tell you, okay, they banned you. Okay, go start your own platform. And then Parler came along, and it was successful. And then what happened to it? It got the plug pulled on it by Amazon Web Services. You're not going to be able to do that in the blockchain. It's totally decentralized. Okay. So there's no head to cut off. So you're going to be an individual online. But I think, hopefully, you'll be able to live a life outside in the real world. Hopefully.
That's what they want.
I think so. I'm really just trying to, I'm starting my knowledge process of this new frontier, but I'm listening to podcasts about it, and it seems like they are good people. It's hard to tell. I don't know what's a good person anymore, but it seems like the principles of Web 3.0 are freedom.
Yeah.
And, you know, having your say and owning your stuff, property rights online, essentially. Yeah.
When we start talking about the metaverse and plugging into a digital reality, essentially, that sort of stuff really frightens me, because now technology is the costs are outweighing the benefits.
Mm-hmm.
It's no longer benefiting us. It's causing so many issues. Like I said, the fact that I went four-wheeling last weekend and I was surprised to see kids outside, the fact that surprised me to see kids playing in the mud, which 20, 25 years ago was totally normal and were where kids should be. Yeah. The fact that surprised me is shocking and really
surprising.
Telling. Yeah. So we're going nowhere good. And the thing about this technology that we've talked about before is that it can't be uninvented. Mm. So it's only going in one direction, and it's getting exponentially advancing to the point where, you know, we will become complete house cats and won't be able to fend for ourselves. And we're putting so much reliance and dependency on our devices, on our technology. And we're really not honoring the things that we truly do need to leave to live a happy and fulfilling life. We're really losing sight of that because now we're confusing convenience with happiness or convenience with fulfillment. Those two things are very different. Mm-hmm. You know, we're saying, oh, well, it's really easy. It's really convenient. And that is an easy, it makes me happy. But we've forgotten how the human brain works and how it evolved and why it evolved to be a certain way. Mm-hmm. Doing hard things make you happy. I've been learning a lot about dopamine and I've been trying to reset the dopamine kind of balance in my brain. I don't know if you've been in this situation. I'm sure you have, because I feel like most people have, where you'll be scrolling, say, on Instagram or Twitter or whatever. And I know that you're on Twitter and you're angry because of the things that you're reading. But on Instagram for me, sometimes I'll be scrolling and I'm not getting anything out of it. I've been on it for an hour. I'm watching the same things, but I can't turn it off. Like I just need to keep going, but I'm not getting the dopamine hit. Like when you don't look at your phone for all day and then you look at your phone, it's like, ugh, awesome. But if you're on your phone all day, you know, and you put it down for a second and pick it back up, you're not going to get that same dopamine rush as you would as if you lost your phone for a day and then found it and got that hit. Yeah. And the only way to kind of recalibrate that sort of thing, I mean, there's a few things you can do. Obviously, you need to put the phone down. You need to do hard things because we can – dopamine is like is on a binary spectrum. So, like, we really can't experience a dopamine rush if we're always flooded with pleasurable stuff. We need to do hard stuff. We need to kind of – which we associate with on the pain spectrum of things, like a hard workout or working hard.
Delay of gratification.
Whatever the case may be. Yeah. So the more you work hard and you have a hard workout, the more dopamine you're going to get when you're finished and you're like, man, I crushed it. I'm using that as an example. But
yeah. No, that's true. And my brain, seems like we're not – the culture is telling us that's bad. We should just indulge in every whim and – be happy, and you know, it doesn't matter what you look like. You're whatever you want to do is great, which is really bad. Yeah. So it's a really bad direction to head in. But that's where we're going. As far as you know, the web, this new frontier of Web 3.0. I think that you're right that we're not. There's no way to get out of it. But it seems like this is going to be better for the individual online. To at least own their stuff and
in terms
not have
of rights and property rights.
Having property rights online is a big step forward.
Yeah,
and it's at least better than what we have now. Is it great? No, but it's here. It's not going anywhere. You can't uninvent it, as you said. But at least it's decentralized, and it takes away, hopefully, takes away
the one centralized force.
Yes. So at least there'll be freedom. You know, online, you won't have to be worried about getting banned or. You know, getting your you won't have a bank account. Some people are getting their bank accounts taken away. They can't do banking. You know, you're not going to have that in Web 3.0. You're going to have a wallet,
security. Yeah,
a wallet where you'll pay for things with, you know, cryptocurrency or you know, probably. I guess U.S. dollars too potentially or whatever.
Yeah.
So I don't know. It's exciting. I'll send you a podcast about it, and maybe I'll put it in the description here if anybody's interested in. It's pretty heady. I don't have the IQ for it, but I'm doing my best. 813-693-2124 is the phone and text line. HMBradio.com is the website. There's stuff there. It's Christmas time. Get your mom an HMB Radio hoodie. Why not? Go to HMBradio.com/store. You can pick that up. There's a donate page there if you're feeling generous this time of year. Follow us on social media, home_made_man, HMB Radio, Radio St. Pete, on a Hummel Radio. If you're listening on Radio St. Pete, Frankenberg's Jazz Show is up next, followed by The Indie Circuit. If you're listening on podcast, thank you. Please do tell a friend about it. Share it with your friends and family. That is the best form of advertising. Appreciate you. Talk to you next week. Will Koontz, HMB Radio, Radio St. Pete. See ya.
You have found The Homemade Broadcast on RadioSaintPete.com.